But Dubs, Niners, or do you want to start with last night and Ja'Marr Chase going crazy with 264 receiving yards, 3 touchdowns? It's all won by teams. Feels good. Well, but they come up short.
I've watched all these other teams now for a couple weeks because the Niners have been on a bye, and there seems to be a consistent theme. Situational football late in games, right? And I saw last night Lamar Jackson statistically had the best fourth quarter of his regular season career. Which is quite a sentence, because you're already looking at a 2-time MVP currently. And for him to throw for 197 yards and 3 touchdowns in the fourth quarter alone and have a perfect passer rating, it's pretty special. And then late in the game,
he's won 6-7 against Burrow. Lamar Jackson.
It's unbelievable. And you have defensive players basically saying, yeah, we're their sons. Like, for the Cincinnati Bengals, acknowledging that Baltimore owns them.
Yep.
There's no doubt about it. Like, I'm watching that game, and I guess Monday night, Tampa Bay not going for 2. You have Zach Taylor last night doing the reverse and going for 2 in that situation. I loved it. And I felt like Cincinnati couldn't get a stop because he was playing the feel of his own defense and realizing that, like, we kind of got to go for this right here. And so I go back to fourth quarter execution, late situational football. And if I look at some of the bugaboos of the Niners this year, red zone is kind of situational football, right? Fourth quarter, there's been some things that have happened. And so I think there's a lot to take away, and CMC coming back is going to be a galvanizing force for them in the red area.
Was it surprising that they went for 2? And I'll tell you why it wasn't surprising. Cincinnati showed you on the first possession of the football game, they went for it on fourth down, inside the 3-yard line, fourth and goal. They went for it 4 times. So there is no doubt in my brain, when they had the ball and they were looking to go tie it, they were going for 2 on the road. As you mentioned, their defense couldn't get a stop. But they set that tone in the first drive of the game. They were going for it. They were going for it over and over. Because why? You're a 4-5 football team, desperate to get back in the AFC North race. You had a shot Thursday Night Football. You don't have T. Higgins. You just let the kitchen sink out. You're playing the Ravens in Baltimore. So you the hell with it. Zach Taylor set that tone. The first possession of the game, I'm going for it. And this is going to be the theme of the game. And they bought in. Burrow was spectacular. 428 passing yards, Ja'Marr 4 Chase. Touchdowns. Ja'Marr Chase, 11 catches, 264. The run after catches, the deep shots. I mean, the catch, the third touchdown catch where he keeps both feet in. High points the football over 2 Raven defenders. And just kind of just subtly. I mean, Ja'Marr Chase is. Cincinnati don't want to pay him.
I'm 100% with you.
Whoa.
There are certain small guys, because I don't consider him a big dude, even though he's thick.
Yeah.
He's built like a running back, but he's so much more fluid than a Debo, right?
He's unbelievable.
But his high pointing, like Justin Jefferson's not huge. I'm talking like 6'4", right?
Mm-hmm.
He's not a huge guy. Tyreek Hill, Ja'Marr Chase, there is a wave of smaller wide receivers that are dynamic in the air, apex catchers, and he's one of them. Speed, power, hands, agility,
everything.
Shakes. What's the hole in Ja'Marr Chase's game?
He has no hole. He has no hole. He has great hands. He can play in the slot. He can play outside. He can go inside. He always gets up and like just pumps his muscles, like just flexes because he's so damn strong. And you want to talk about a guy. Look, I would advise it, but he said to hell with it. I'm going to play. I wanted my new money. They didn't give me my new money. And now he's balling out of control of being the number one wide receiver in all of football right now. And now he's going to have to get broken off. So he did the opposite of what a lot of wide receivers do. And both those guys in Cincinnati did what they had to do because Mike Brown is so frugal and didn't budge on paying these players. So Ja'Marr Chase bet on himself. 11 catches, 264 on the season so far. Ja'Marr Chase, 981 receiving yards, 66 catches, 10 touchdowns. He's averaging 15 yards a catch.
Incredible. Now, if you pivot over to Baltimore, I'm watching them and I'm saying it's obviously very different in how it looks. But in terms of the offense carrying the defense, that might be the recipe the Niners have to follow for the next couple of weeks. Now, situationally, obviously Baltimore came up with some big stops that final breakup, whether it was a PI, whether it was a late hit on Burrow and
Gesicki,
a face mask.
Gesicki. Yeah, that was old. They missed that one, though.
Well, again, it was a very physical game. It's a division matchup. I'm sure if I was a Bengal fan, I'd be whining
I'd be
and crying
off.
This morning.
I'd be ticked off.
Yeah, I would be pissed off. But I'm watching the Ravens team, and I'm saying, like, their offense is clearly carrying their defense right now, and Kyle Hamilton gets hurt in that game. But I look at the Niners, and all their numbers are telling me that the Niners are a good offense. And defense, they're kind of middle of the pack. Not that they're bottom dwellers, because Baltimore right now is 27th in overall defense. But the Niners are kind of bottom of the pack. And so I think that the offense is going to have to just be more efficient and score touchdowns in the zone, baby. And I look at CMC returning, and I don't know what his carry is going to be. I don't know what his workload is going to be. But I think it's imperative that they get back to being the efficient red zone team that they were the last couple of years.
Well, that's the key. I mean, that's the big difference in the team right now is red zone touchdowns. Opposed to last year. Last year, they were top three in most metrics, man. They were really just a historic offense, to be honest with you. You know, with the four guys with over 1,000 scrimmage yards, you have McCaffrey with over 20-plus touchdowns, breaking the franchise record. Their red zone efficiency was tops in the league. That has been the big difference. There's no doubt about that. And in terms of middle-of-the-pack defense, look, if you get an offense that's putting pressure, and I think in today's NFL, I really think we need to think about it like this. You know, yes, defense, you need timely stops. You need to keep teams out of the end zone. That's, if you give up three, fine, but if you can't give up six over and over and over again. But with this defense, and we don't know if Charvarius Ward is going to play this Sunday. He's away from the football team. And if he doesn't play, who could blame him after what's going on with his family, Monique and Charvarius Ward? He may not be ready to go. So you may have to, Renardo Green and Isaac Yenum, they're going to have to play a lot more snaps, you know, alongside D'Amador Lenore. This pass rush hasn't been the best. Now, we'll see what happens with Yannick Ngakoue, who's on waivers right now with the Baltimore Ravens. But this offense, like, kind of sort of like last season, yes, your offense is your best defense. Kind of like sometimes those Golden State Warrior teams where it's like you're pressing even though you're up 10 because you say, damn, Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, damn, if we've... We missed a couple shots here. They're about to go on a three-point barrage and blow us out of the gym. And that's what happened most times. Well, the 49ers offense with Deebo and Juwan Jennings coming back and Chris McCaffrey coming back. You have George Kittle there. And you got to get Ricky Pierce all up to speed alongside Jacob Cowing. Yes, it's up to Shanahan and Brock Purdy to help carry this offense and carry this football team. Your best defense may be a better offense, score touchdowns here, and try to get 30 on the board week in and week out.
And I'm looking at Ricky Pearsall, and it's a lot of pressure for a guy that's played a couple of games in the NFL. But with Ayuk's absence, I think the guy's got to be a 4 to 6 catch a game guy. And we're not asking him to, you know, get targeted 12 times. That's just not how the offense is. But I need him to be a solid role player for this team. And I think George Kittle needs to lead the way. To me, I'm looking at George Kittle.
And he has.
And no doubt. But like, this is a team right now, Tampa Bay, that's toward the bottom in all the passing metrics. They've been in a
pass
lot of
defense.
Pass defense. Yep. I'm talking pass defense. They've been in a lot of shootouts. And they give up a ton of yards right now. The Niners, conversely, offensively, they've put up the second most yards in the league in yards per game. And so that surprised me. When I'm looking at some of the advanced stuff, it's like, it's the turnovers that have crushed them and the inefficiency in the red zone.
Well, they're 28th in the red zone when it comes to efficiency, 48.5% in the red zone, the 49ers, 28th in the league. The only teams worse, Green Bay, Pittsburgh, Dallas, and the Giants.
Oh, jeez.
You don't want to be in a conversation with the Giants. You don't want to be in a conversation with the Dallas Cowboys. In Pittsburgh, they're starting to get healthier. They're starting to get better. Now, conversely, Tampa Bay has been a lot better in the red zone, but this is with Godwin and with Mike Evans. They're third in the league in red zone efficiency. When they get inside the red area, they make it count with Baker Mayfield and company. So the last three games have the Niners trended up. They've been better the last three games. They've been better in the last three games of 49ers. Middle of the pack, their red zone efficiency, 61%. So they started off horrible. They are trending up in the red zone. And now you add in Christian McCaffrey. And I think it's simple, folks. 888-957-9570. Is that the missing ingredient for the 49ers going to run here? Is it just Christian McCaffrey? Is he the missing ingredient for this football team? Is he the reason why they're 4-4? Is he the reason why they could go on a run in the second half of the season? Niner fans, where are you at? 888-957-9570, because he is Brock Purdy's best friend in that backfield, and he is his safety valve. And there's trust issues there when Chris McCaffrey isn't on that football field. And now you get him back on the football field, and maybe Brock Purdy settles down a bit and becomes the guy we saw last year. And he's had a good year. Hasn't been the season he had a season ago, but he's had a decent year. He's had a year in which I believe this quarterback can be the quarterback for the next 3 years. But when you bring back Christian McCaffrey, and if you can stay healthy, I just want to know, is that the missing ingredient? Is that it? Is that the cure to the 49ers issues here? Plug in number 23 and boom. You're going to be one of the top teams in NFC again? Is it that simple?
Well, it's crazy because the big play, like scoring a touchdown, has this big momentum. Like when you get into the red zone and you punch one in as opposed to kicking a field goal, I can feel the deflation in the stadium at times. You know the feeling. You've been there. Like, come on, guys. We got to get six here. And it's as simple as like one extra touchdown. The guy averages a touchdown a game plus Christian McCaffrey. Like he is as prolific of a touchdown scorer as they come in the history of the game since the second he got to the Niners. Like that's how dynamic he was. He was breaking Jerry Rice records, which is a sentence we do not say lightly in this market. So yeah, I do think it's a big difference. Now is that the end all be all? No. Like their defense has got to play better situational football. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be tough if Charvarius Ward doesn't play. It's going to be tough if they don't get Dre Greenlaw back at, you know, close to what he was the last couple of years. You're going to need more from that defensive line. You're going to need more from Nick Bosa. But I do think it helps a lot. And I think it helps Kyle Shanahan a lot because that's his favorite guy to call plays for.
Yeah, there's no doubt. Jordan Mason, we'll see about the, we'll see about him and his status for Sunday against Tampa Bay. You still have Isaac Garrido, who's played very good football. He's starting to come on here as a rookie. But look, the secondary here with Charvarius Ward maybe not playing. I think they have to brace for Charvarius Ward not playing and what that looks like here defensively. But I'm looking at the text line here, Comcast Business text line, and 707 to say CMC is the reason. Just like he was the difference maker when he was traded, if healthy. He is the difference maker. Now, could it just be, hey, he's going to help the offense? Does he help the defense? Because we're still waiting on number 50. We're still waiting on number 53, Drake Greenlaw, and where he's at. And we don't know where he's at right now. He's week to week with the Achilles tendonitis. I don't know what to expect from him. I don't know what to expect from CMC. I honestly have no clue how they're going to play this with Christian McCaffrey. Will he get 20 touches? Will he get 15 touches? Will he only play on third down? Will you take him out of the red zone? Will you play him in the red zone on the goal line? How the hell do you navigate with this injury here? I'm not going to lie. When he cuts, it's going to be like when Klay Thompson first returned with the Golden State Warriors. Remember when Klay Thompson came back and he was jumping up and down? We're like, oh, don't land wrong. Oh. Well, whenever Christian McCaffrey cuts and he jump cuts or he... I'm going to be like a worried father.
When Crabtree came back from his Achilles, I winced almost the entire time. What did he come back, like the 13th or 14th week in the season?
He came out late in the season.
And I just didn't have that same, like, not that he was ever like a burst guy.
He wasn't right.
No, he wasn't. It was until he went to the Raiders, really, that he got his legs back underneath him. There's no doubt that like, we're all going to be wincing. And I guess the big test for me is not necessarily just Sunday. What's he feel like Wednesday?
Well, also, you know.
What's he feel like Thursday? Yeah, you know, like point. Later on in the week.
I didn't mean to cut you off there, but I was going to bring up real quick before the first segment was over. Malik Mustafa's status is uncertain. He suffered a calf injury during practice.
Our calf. What is going on with our calves here in the Bay Area? Bonte's calf's hurt. I mean, CMC's got bilateral, Achilles tendonitis. Dre Greenlaw, like. What's going on with the Cavs?
I don't know what's going on with the Cavs, but Malik Mustafa, which is why you bring Tashaun Gibson back, he may have to play on Sunday. He may have to play. this is unbelievable.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, and this is one of those games, I think in terms of how they look, will tell us a lot about the second half of the season.
So I, on the other side, am going to explain to you why I believe the first half specifically is going to let me know how locked in this team is for the remainder of the year.
Well, I think I'm going to need the entire game because in today's football, we see a lot of clunky first halves and we have the old witching hour. We have the old witching hour where games are going to be won late. I just need to see a clean game. Can they put together four quarters? They've yet to put together four quarters all season. I think we're going to find out on Sunday here with the 49ers and Bucks. We got Sam Gordon at 6:50 to talk some Warriors here. Warriors and Cavaliers. Big game in Cleveland.